Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. I'm joined by Dr. Chris Hughes. And it is our honor to host the show today for Dr. Youngblood, who is traveling to Virginia to prepare for and to complete the homecoming celebration for his son, Gene, who recently passed away with complications of COVID. So we ask for your prayers for Dr. Youngblood and for his family during these difficult times. I'm calling from the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a small business owner, have owned an insurance and financial services agency for the past 31 years. Prior to that, I was 10 years active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy. I also served in the Florida State House in District 1 and District 2 as a state representative from 2013 to 2020. As I mentioned, I'm joined by Dr. Chris Hughes. Dr. Hughes is a powerful communicator. He's a Christian political advocate. He's a Second Amendment defender. He's a Christian apologist, and he's an author. He is the host of Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. And Chris, thank you for joining us today. But just before the break, we did have a caller who called in, and I appreciate you holding. Nate, what is your question or comment, please?
Yes. I'm kind of tired of the left and their open, apostasy towards, Christianity and godliness and the origins of this country, which, a lot of people don't know that, before the Revolutionary War, many of the founding fathers, they called the nation to prayer and fasting. And they really sought God because, it really took a miracle of God to overthrow the most powerful nation at that time, the British Empire, to win the freedoms here. And God has given us this country. And, I'm all for secession from, the radical left. Like I'm all about it. If our governors and those of us who love the Constitution and respect it and its background, that I believe that we should, secede from the foolishness of those that, that openly serve the devil.
Well, Nate, thank you for that phone call and for your comments. And you are absolutely right on a number of issues. One is that this is a Christian nation. It was founded on Christian principles. And so it is very well documented that you can go back and study and see that this was indeed a Christian nation, and we must get back to it. Don't believe this separation of church and state nonsense that you hear from so many on the left. This is a Christian nation. Chris, just before the break, we were talking about how we're living in a chaos economy and how to fix it. And I'm reading from an article from the Mises Wire by a Mark Thornton who wrote this. And as we were talking about before the break and continue, the article goes on to say that lockdowns and restrictions are a great harm to the U.S. and world economies. Why are so many cargo ships sitting waiting for unloading? Why are others going unfilled in the first place? Why aren't truckers driving products to market? Why isn't product being placed on shelves? There are millions of details here, but in many cases, workers are not available or unwilling to comply with COVID restrictions and requirements. Production is stuck in a quagmire of government intervention. A big piece of the problem, the article goes on to say, are the restrictions and subsidies in the U.S. labor markets. Special unemployment benefits and stimulus checks from the government mean that not working pays more than working, plus more leisure time for those that accept being on the public dole. In one recent week, this is what the author is saying, I engaged with three small businesses. They could not have continued to operate if they had not been able to hire a few workers who were unwilling to be on a dole or more likely had not realized how easy it is to collect unemployment. Locally, McDonald's is offering 50% higher than minimum wage for 14-year-olds, and they are still having trouble attracting workers. The bottlenecks, empty shelves, business closures, reduced hours, and worker wanted signs are not the direct result of price controls, nor are they the fault of the market economy. Rather, prices in some areas of the economy need to rise to harmonize supply and demand that entrepreneurs can hardly keep pace in this environment dominated by government interventions and heightened uncertainty. I sympathize with entrepreneurs who are trying to save jobs, keep food on our tables, plus pay a huge chunk of taxes. Chris, that reminds me, before the break, we were talking about shortages and supplies and how you mentioned that toilet paper, they are saying now is going to be a shortage of supplies. And I was talking about the how governments will come in, especially after a catastrophe, a disaster such as a hurricane, and put in these wage price controls, saying that you cannot increase prices above a certain level. Well, government needs to get out of the way and let the market handle itself. And I'll tell you why. I'll share this story. Okay, so one day I had to go to a CVS pharmacy. And while I was there, I noticed there was toilet paper on the shelves. And this was last year during the height of all this where you couldn't find toilet paper. So I simply called home and I asked my wife, I said, hey, do we have enough toilet paper at home? She says, yeah, we have some, but you may want to grab some anyway, just in case. I said, okay. So I go over to the shelf. There was a four pack of toilet paper. And they wanted $12 for it. I said, my goodness. And then there was an 8-pack that was there that they wanted $18 for. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll buy the 8-pack for $18. I said, no, that's crazy to spend that much money on toilet paper. So instead, I grabbed the 4-pack and paid $12 for it. Okay, another lady walked in the store, walked up, saw the 8-pack was there, saw how much it cost, and left it. So my whole point is, Chris, when you let the market determine what the prices are, you are going to have available product. I can guarantee you, if I had seen that 8-pack was $2, I would have bought it. And if I saw the 4-pack was $1.50, I would have bought both of them. And then there was nothing there, would have been a shortage. But when you let the market determine the outcome, there were products available. Chris, what is your take on that?
Yeah, Mike, if we just get out of the way, if the government would keep their nose out of business, our economy is set up for competition. That's what I kept thinking all during that crisis last year. If the government get out of the way, we'd have all the toilet tissue we want because people would jump in there and do it. It's not just toilet tissue. It's everything. Same with the gas. Our economy is designed for competition. And I used to live in Florida. Like you said, I know during hurricanes, governments would hop in. But it works if government stays out of the way. And we need to get out of the way and let our economy boom again. And part of the way that they're restricting right now is not just in taxes, but in mass mandates and these vaccine mandates and telling businesses, any business over 100 people, they have to have vaccines. That is going to kill our economy because there are people who are refusing to get the vaccines. And it's just going to make harder to get things back on the shelves.
That's right, Chris. And by the way, I will admit to the audience that I am one of those who refuse to get the vaccine. This is Mike Hill, also with Dr. Chris Hughes, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. And again, Chris, I'm reading from an article from the Mises Institute. It's called The Mises Wire. We're living in a chaos economy, and here's how to end it, written by Mark Thornton. Going back to the article, it says, buying a new car or large flat-screen smart TV is a joyous occasion in a family's material life. We know that we will get years of enjoyment for a good price. How does this compare to going without a refrigerator, hot water heater, or air conditioner because the product was not available? It should be clear that the cause of our new economic problems is massive across-the-board government intervention, here and abroad. Chris, I like how the author says this is a new economic problem that we are experiencing right now. We've seen it before in the past. There were the long gas lines, you'll recall, back in the 70s, because they were trying to fix the price of gas, wouldn't let it go above a certain level, and the result of it was shortages. Price fixing always causes a shortage. Doesn't matter what industry it's in. It should be clear, again, that the cause of this is caused by government intervention here and abroad. The article goes on to say, among the negative consequences are these harms and dislocations we face. The solution, here's the solution, is to remove those government interventions. Not only have they caused a great deal of interference in economic transactions, but they have destroyed businesses and people's lives. Many have also even died as a result from the despair and chaos, not the disease. We saw that, Chris, during the lockdowns, where suicides were skyrocketing and substance abuse and domestic violence, because government was trying to force people to stay at home. Meanwhile, social media and internet giants and pharmaceutical companies, among others, have received an enormous unearned windfall. This is an economic crisis, and it is one of the government's making. Economic statistics and stock markets, led by a small number of super winners from the lockdowns, have masked the calamity. The sure remedy is to end the interventions, especially the Fed's inflationary policy and restrictions and subsidies on production and consumption. This would restore the market economy to a functioning state. Chris, we must get government out of our economy, out of trying to dictate how we are to produce and what we are to consume. And a way to do that is something you mentioned before the top of the hour, that Christians must get involved with voting in the right people. We have the right people in office. We won't have government, which is imposing their will on the people. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Mike, I like what you read just a second ago where you where the article mentioned super winners. And that made me think about, and even though this wasn't the focus of that article, you know, really through COVID, our government, through their intervention, has really destroyed the mom and pop business. The businesses that succeeded were companies like Walmart and Amazon, the ones who were giving tens of millions of dollars to these political campaigns and political candidates. They let Walmart stay open and the churches were closed, and mom and pop businesses and mom and pop stores and small local restaurants could not operate anymore. But these mega companies continued to thrive and really got stronger through the COVID crisis. And I think it was intentional with our government intervention. They're rewarding those who support them financially in campaigns. And that leads back to, again, people think that elections don't matter. Elections do matter. All of these problems started occurring with the change of the administration about a year ago, or not even a year ago. Elections matter, and they matter on a local level as well. A lot of local governments have complete say in whether your kids wear a mask when they go to school or what happens in their town. I don't know how it is in Pensacola, Florida, but I can tell you in Boone, North Carolina, where I live, we have a very liberal town council, and they've had very strict COVID restrictions and mask restrictions and vaccinations and that kind of thing. And it's killed our local economy and local businesses because the government will not stay out of the way. We've got to wake up, folks, and we have got to give money to campaigns. That money speaks. Money works. It takes money to pay for direct mail and TV and media, and we have to walk door to door and work for candidates. We got to quit just talking about how bad it is, and we've got to get involved and engaged and make a difference. And we've got a chance here in November of 2022 to at least get this nation back on a right course and stop the Biden administration. If we don't take Congress back, you know, if they win, Mike, in November of 2022, if the liberals win, then they're going to be emboldened because they're going to say, look, we have a mandate from the government, from the people. The people like what we're doing. So we're just going to give them more of it. And it's going to go crazy if we don't stop it in November of 2022.
Chris, it'll be even crazier than what we are experiencing right now. And you're mentioning November of next year, even sooner than that. I understand in just a week or so, they're going to be going to vote for the new governor for Virginia. And it is going to be very important that we get out that current leftist Democrat governor who is there. The people in Virginia are just suffering from his crazy lockdown dictates and mandates that they've done. Not only there in Virginia, but in New Jersey, Maryland, New York. It is suffocating the people. And as you say, the small businesses, the mom and pops are closing. They have gone out of business. I've witnessed it here in Pensacola. However, Chris, thank goodness, our Governor DeSantis, and we have a conservative state house and state senate. We are not in lockdown modes here in Florida. Masks are not required here in Florida. And in fact, right now, we have our Department of Education who is fining several counties in Florida who are not giving parents the choice of whether or not their children can wear masks in school. Governor DeSantis and his administration have said, let that be the parents' choice, whether or not their children wear masks in school. But there are certain counties, mainly in central and southern Florida, that are mandating it anyway, going against the law here in Florida. The Florida legislature passed a law saying that you could not mandate masks or vaccines here in Florida. We're a free state. Thank goodness. Ladies and gentlemen,
well, you have the same.
Go ahead, Chris.
You have the same thing going on. You have the same thing going into Texas right now. I don't know if you saw the news this morning, but Southwest and American Airlines, even though the governor of Texas says that, you know, that he's not going to enforce these vaccine mandates, they're based in Texas, but both of those airlines say they don't care. They're going to do what President Biden said. I want to back up just a minute if I can. Mike, you mentioned Virginia and a race that's coming up real soon here in Virginia. Folks, there's a chance for all of us. If you if you're free to go to Virginia, we need a lot of workers in Virginia right now. There's an organization called the Mighty American Strike Force. That's Mighty American Strike Force, and they're looking for volunteers all over the country to go to Virginia. This governor's race is really going to be an important race because Terry McAuliffe, who is right now leading in the polls, and he's the Democrat candidate that is running for governor. Remember, he's the one that said in a debate about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that parents should not have a say in their children's education. We've got a chance to shut this man down because what's happening in Virginia, a lot of that is falling through the rest of the country because many of the federal employees of the Biden administration have purposely moved to Virginia right outside of Washington, D.C., and from a two or three county area, they're controlling with their votes the entire state of Virginia. So we have a chance from all over America, even though that's not your governor, the policies there are spreading across our nation. We have a chance to shut Terry McAuliffe down. So if you're free, they could really use your help, even if it's for a day or two, if you would run up to Virginia and help out. And you can learn more by going to the website of the Mighty American Strike Force.
Great point that you just made, Chris. And by the way, this broadcast is carried on some Virginia radio stations. So they just heard your call for help, Chris, those who are in Virginia. And I would encourage you, don't sit home. Don't be concerned that, well, my vote won't count because we know they're going to cheat anyway. Despite that, even if they do cheat, make them have to cheat on such a massive scale that it becomes obvious to everyone. So go out and vote and help with these campaigns. And as Chris earlier said, give money to the candidate who you want to see get elected. Every little bit helps. If it's $50, $100, that starts to add up when several patriots will step forward and become a part of a campaign. Chris, you know, we were talking about how government has been causing this economic chaos that we are in right now. And what we are seeing coming out of Washington, D.C., out of Congress, is this lunacy to continue increasing our debt ceiling, and that they keep letting it or just kicking the can down the road and say, okay, we're going to increase the debt ceiling and we'll cover this again in December 16th. And in the meantime, they're spending money like crazy. And that is part of what is really affecting our economy. There's an article written by Ryan McMakin that says why Americans would benefit from a government default. You don't hear about that very often, Chris. The Biden's administration, the article says, the Biden administration's rhetoric on a debt ceiling has become nothing short of apocalyptic. The Treasury Department has announced that a failure to increase the debt ceiling would have catastrophic economic consequences and would, as NBC News claims, constitute a doomsday scenario that would spark a financial crisis and plunge the economy into recession. In other words, they want to continue increasing the debt ceiling. Apparently, the article goes on to say, the memo went out to the debt peddlers that they are not to hold back when sowing maximum fear over the thought that the U.S. government might pause its incessant debt accumulation even for a few days. The reality, however, is quite something else. While a failure to raise the debt ceiling would no doubt cause short-term disruptions, the fact is the medium and long-term effects will prove beneficial by reining in the regime's chokehold on the American economy and financial system. Chris, I agree with that 100%. Do not continue raising this debt ceiling. We need Republicans in the Senate and in the House to grow a backbone, to stand firm, and to not let the government to continue spending money like crazy. We know that, as the article says, there will be some short-term disruptions, but in the long term, our economy will be much stronger and healthier. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my fear is for the next generation, you know, for those of us that have children and grandchildren, you can't keep raising and expect someone not to have to pay the price at some point. And even if, and like you said, it's kicking the can down the road. And if we love our children and the future generations of this nation, we need to put an end to this, because it is just going to be a problem for them down the road. And you mentioned Congress and Senate. We've got to get more people in there who do have a backbone. I know I mentioned him a lot over the last couple of days, but I'm very concerned about my mind just went blank. Our Senate Majority Leader, and if we do
Mitch
take
McConnell.
Over Congress,
yeah
Mitch thank
McConnell.
You. My brain went foggy there for a minute. Mitch McConnell just wants to cooperate too much. And now that's a problem, Mike, that Republicans have not learned. The Democrats won't back down from what they want. We keep conceding and making concessions, and you do have to work together. But if you keep making concessions, they never make concessions back. The other side does not. Sometimes you just have to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough, because this is kicking the can down the road, and it's got to stop. We cannot pass these problems down the road to future generations. We have a chance to fix this right now in our own time, and I hope and pray that we will.
Chris, you're absolutely right. We have just under 2 minutes left on today's broadcast. We've had a great conversation. This is Mike Hill and Dr. Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, who is currently traveling to Virginia to prepare and perform the homecoming for their son, Gene, who recently passed away. We covered a lot of topics today. We had some callers who called in, Gene. Tomorrow we will be back, and here are some of the topics that I hope we can discuss tomorrow. Here's the title of one article: It's Wrong to Draft Women. It goes on to say it's also wrong to draft men. We're going to talk about the disaster at our southern border. And then this, the choice of a generation, empowering families to break the cycle of poverty. We're talking the choice of school choice. Get your children out of government public schools. Chris, thank you for joining me today. I would encourage our listeners to pray, to seek the Lord's face, pray for this nation, pray for our leaders. This is Mike Hill and Dr. Chris Hughes, sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.